Welcome to another edition of Unity Point Live. This week, we're continuing our study in Galatians chapter 2, wrapping that up, but we're going straight at the topic that's in the news right now. This week, our study is God's plan is about equality. You know, it's time we stop letting the world tell us what God's plans are. It's time we stop letting the world tell us what is equality, but that we tell the world this is what God says. That's what we're going to find this week. Be blessed.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Remember, we've gotten through Saul becoming Paul. Paul going off and studying. Paul coming back to Jerusalem years later. Last week we wrapped up with Paul saying there was nothing else that they had to add to what I was preaching, but they told me to care for the poor. And then this happens. And when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" It's interesting that this is where we happen to be in our study. But we're going to see God's truth and not our world's truth. We've talked about that God has a plan a few weeks back. We talked about that God's plan requires your patience. But God's plan is also one of equality. But we're going to understand what that actually means. Peter was struggling. Paul identified that Peter was struggling. Peter was struggling with being a crowd pleaser. I've heard my granddaddy say this, and I've heard other people say this, and if you're originally from the South, you've probably heard somebody say this. He used to say, "He's anybody's dog that'll hunt him." Anybody's dog that'll hunt him. That's what Peter was struggling with. Peter was struggling with that when he was with one group of people, he acted a certain way. When he was with another group of people, he acted a different way. If he was with a third group of people, he would act a different way. Very specifically, if we want to get a modern day understanding of this, he says that when Peter was with the Gentiles, he would eat with them and he would fellowship with them. But when the Jews came around, of which, you know, Peter was a part, then Peter would no longer eat with the Gentiles. Peter would no longer fellowship with them. He would withdraw and he would stay over here with the Jewish people. It's easy for us sometimes to read this stuff in the Bible and go, "Oh, that's bad. That's wrong. How could anyone act like that?" Not understanding two different applications with this. Number one, we are the Gentiles, because most of us are not Jewish. Most of us do not have a Jewish heritage. Because of that, we would have been in that society, we would have been the lower class citizen. because in the Jewish culture then, the Gentiles were, they were not considered, we weren't considered worthy of receiving the gospel. That's what, remember just a few weeks back, that was the struggle that Paul was having to go through, was because God had called him to communicate that the gospel was also to the Gentiles. And he said in chapter 1, he said, when these other apostles saw that God was working in me to bring the gospel to the Gentiles in the same way that God was working in Peter and these other men to bring the gospel to the Jewish people, then they extended the right hand of fellowship. They said, they endorsed me. They said, we see it. Our country, our churches are struggling still with a Jewish-Gentile mentality. We're still wrestling with lower class citizens. We're still evaluating and determining separation. And our country is pulling apart somewhat at the seams over it. Within the church world, just at the most basic levels, we struggle with that if somebody was a bad enough sinner, then people, that's that person that used to be. Hey, that's that person that, well, you know what, we'll see if God's really changed their life. I mean, I know they say they prayed a prayer, and I know they cried and all that stuff, but we'll see. Because, they were pretty bad. As if somehow we're all going to different places. That if we don't have Christ, there's going to be some division of, the better levels of hell than what other people are going to. Instead of embracing and encouraging and loving and exhorting one another to good works and spurring one another on. It still breaks my heart that our church world continues to struggle with being so segregated. That our churches are white and our churches are black. Or they're Hispanic. Or they are Korean. And sometimes that's due to a language thing. And I don't speak Spanish, and I don't speak Korean, and I don't speak Japanese. I do speak semi-decent English. And I'm fluent in redneck English. But it's sad. That's what these churches in the New Testament were struggling with. They were struggling with, why do you think that God put the story of the Great Samaritan in the Bible, or the Good Samaritan in the Bible? What was the whole story of the Good Samaritan? It was someone who was of mixed race, was not Jewish, was not really, was this mixture, and were considered in the society to be dogs. And here is this guy in the story, there's this guy that's been set on by robbers and beaten. Everything taken. He's left on the side of the road. And there's this parade of people that begin to come by. And we see what happens when they do. We see a religious man come by. A priest, if you will, come by. And he sees this man, but he can't stop to deal with this man's problem. Because if he does, and he's already been ceremoniously purified and ready to go do ministry in the temple, then he'll have to go through this process again. He won't be able to just go straight to where he's heading to do his work. We see other people that will pass by and go to the side, the other side of the road. The guy's all beaten. And along comes this Samaritan. guy that's really not supposed to be no good, guy that's mixed breed, guy that's looked down on by everybody else. Good Samaritan comes along, sees this guy that's been beaten, robbed, bloody on the side of the road. Very possibly, this Good Samaritan has been mocked by people like this guy before, has been looked down on by folks like this guy that's laying here bloody on the side of the road. But what happens? Well, this Good Samaritan stops, sees the issue, binds him up, cleans him up, works through his problem, gets off of his animal that he's riding and now begins to walk, takes and puts this guy that's been beaten and stolen from, probably unconscious, and puts him up on the animal, takes him down to the local inn, checks him in with the owner, and says, "I'll take care of everything that's necessary to heal this guy up. And if there's anything more that you have to do when I come back by, I'll pay for it." Why does he put stories like this in the Bible? Why is it necessary to leave a lasting story for people that's saying, hey, when we start looking down on each other, when we start creating division, when we start creating separation, when we're inconsistent in how we respond to people? Jesus comes as a Jew. Why is he worried about what Gentiles are going through? Paul has been taught at the best schools. Paul has been raised up under the best instruction. Paul was part of the ruling class at one point when he was Saul, when he was persecuting the church. Why is Paul concerned about what the lower class is dealing with? Because interestingly enough, God took somebody from the highest of positions in the world and gave him the ministry to the people that were considered to be outcasts from the religion. There was inconsistency in how Peter was acting. He said, based on who was present at the time, well, why does it really matter? You know why it matters? Because your witness matters. Peter's witness was affected. Peter's witness was such that the people that were around him saw it. I had a phone call this past week. I have a meeting with HUD tomorrow. Y'all need to be praying. I have a meeting with HUD at 1:15. It's housing and urban development, if anybody doesn't know what that is. I sat in a meeting here just a week or so back at the city meeting center with where the city council was and our city manager and our mayor and people from the community because I run a plant that's out on West 16th and the Cooper homes that are out there are going to be leveled, and they were going through a process about all of that. And I asked a couple of questions because it was getting rough. It was getting tough in this meeting. And so I raised my hand. I wasn't the only pastor there. But it was rough, and I'll just leave it at that. I raised my hand and I said, hey, I hear you guys talking about some various different things, and what about faith-based ministries that are in the area that want to be a part? The guy says, well, there's a section in our plan for that. Can you give contact information to this gentleman over here? And I said, absolutely. So afterwards, I gave him my Unity Point card. So he called me this week. This is how the conversation went. Hi, Mr. Payne. Hi, Mr. Payne. I'm following up from this meeting. You made mention about wanting to help. What do you want to do to help? And I said, I don't really know. I'm not sure. And he goes, well, but you know, you're wanting to help HUD. I mean, how do you? I said, what I'd really like to do, and see, I was all excited. What I'd really like to do is I'd like to come sit down with you and see what you're doing and see where we would fit, how we could help. He goes, well, okay. I said, well, you know, at your convenience, you know, when we could. He said, all right. And he said, well, I mean, I just thought maybe you had some idea of what you could do. I said, well, there's several things that we could do. And I said, one of the things, I said, now, actually, I said, this past winter, this is how we've met some of our friends. I said, hey, we were involved in the warming center when the warming center opened up at Carver. Every time it opened, we were part of that. And this is what happened. He goes, oh, really? Really? And I said, yes. And he says, well, when do you want to get together? When do you want to meet? And I said, well, hey, listen. And so we worked out 1:15 on Monday. And I was talking to Michelle about it, and I said, you know what I understood? I said, it didn't offend me. This didn't offend me. I said, you know why? Because I don't know probably how many churches that have made statements to people saying, oh, yeah, we want to help. We want to be part of something. And they're going, okay. Because it happened once, or it, you know, hey, we went and did a project, and, you know, and we went and did something for one day, and then we spent about as much time celebrating when we went back to our churches about what we did than we were about going. And so they've seen inconsistency in the church. They've seen inconsistency. And when somebody realizes, oh, wait a minute, you've already done some stuff? You've already been involved, and you weren't just raising your hand in a city meeting to go, hey, we want some attention, we want to do something? See, your witness matters. Your witness matters. Do you just do stuff when people are looking? Do you just do stuff because you think you'll be seen? Do you just do right because you're afraid somebody will see and tell? But maybe in your heart, you're not consistent. If you're alone, if you're by yourself, if you're somewhere away, are you consistent? Maybe even a bigger question would be, when we sit in church and we say, yeah, I want to see the lost one. Yeah, I want to reach out to people that have challenges. Yes, I want to reach out to people from other races. Yes, I want to reach out. And we say that while we're in God's house. And we say that, and we hug necks and all that stuff. But then we go home, and what we put on Facebook and what we say and what we tell with our buddies at work represents something entirely different. That if we were really trying to reach the lost that are not sitting here this morning, that are black, that are Hispanic, that are Korean, that are Asian, that are white, that are whatever, because they're just not believers. If that was really who we wanted to be, there would be consistency. It makes me wonder, is this why? That we sit, and is this why? Because the church should be the one place. The church should be the one place for sure where that people come together, where that people understand that the Word says that in Christ there is no more free and slave, there is no more Jew and Greek, there is none of these things. There is one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, one Father who is in all and who is over all. political and social issues this very week have shown that people in the church world are still struggling with this issue. I can't tell you how many times this week I've seen believers, people I know from multiple states, and people post things and say things that, well, when those people start doing this, when those people start... You know what? I'm so glad God didn't treat us the way that we treat people. I'm so glad that God did not respond to me as a sinner the way that we treat other people. God didn't say, well, when you get your act together, then I'll come be part of your life and do... God didn't say that. God said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. If you don't have money, you can come unto me and buy. We're called to die. We're called to die to self. We're struggling. The church world is struggling with how do we stand for truth without being militant, destructive people. How do we stand for God's truth yet reach the people that we are standing against their actions? Whether that is regarding racism, whether that is regarding homosexual lifestyle, whether that is regarding just pure sin in somebody's life, whatever it is, we're struggling. We're struggling in the church world with understanding how to do what Ephesians tells us about speaking the truth in love. How to take a stand. And we're allowing people to hijack our Christian faith and go out here that are yelling terrible, hateful things all in the name of... We think it's just Westboro Baptist Church. We think it's just them. Man, there's stuff at the local level. There's people that are hateful. And yet I wonder, when you get done with your hate and telling everybody about their sin and telling everybody how bad they are, how are you then going to communicate God's love and God's grace? Because you've been so hateful in the process. And then you come into God's house. And you come into God's house. I said it last week. I have to listen to these things again because I have to go back and, you know, doing these podcasts. You know, I have to hear myself. So don't feel bad. You only have to hear it once. I have to do it once and then hear it again. And I was listening to it again and I heard myself talking about this, and I realized, man, this is it. We haven't yet identified that when we're spewing stuff outside in the world, and then you want to walk in God's house and get in God's presence. Keep going back to those verses. Two specific ones where he says, how can you love God that you haven't seen if you don't love your brother that you have seen? Well, these people are doing wrong. These people are doing us wrong. These people are doing... Wait a minute. The Bible taught a concept about turning the other cheek. Well, does that mean, well, Jesus wasn't a pushover? Jesus was using a whip on some people one time. Yeah, they were religious people. You don't ever see Jesus doing something aggressive to sinners. What we see Jesus doing with sinners is promoting the gospel. What we see Jesus doing with sinners is being very upfront. We see Jesus with a woman at the well that she's had five, you know, she's got her fifth husband, and let's rephrase that, because Jesus says, you got one right now and he's not your husband, and you live and you shacked up with him. That's what Jesus tells the lady at the well. But she goes back and tells the whole town, hey, you're not going to believe what... There's this man, you need to come meet this man who told me everything about me. Jesus didn't cut any corners. He said, hey, you're living in sin, and woman's caught in adultery, they bring her to Jesus. You know, remember Jesus is squatted down, he's writing in the sand. All these religious people are there. If it's gonna stone her, we're gonna kill her. Now does Jesus say, oh no, now we just all need to be tolerant of sin? No. Does Jesus look up and go, you're about to split hell wide open? No. fact, Jesus really doesn't look up. Jesus keeps writing in the sand. And he just says, he that's among you that's without sin, you throw the first rock. Next thing you start hearing is rocks dropping on the ground. Finally, Jesus looks up. He goes, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "Well, there's none here accusing me." And he said, "Neither do I. Go your way and sin no more." You already know it's wrong. You already know. Stop sinning. We're going to have to decide. See, honestly, the most interesting thing to me is that the majority of people in the churches, probably about 99.75% of people in the churches, what's happened this week will only, depending on what goes on, will only minorly impact you. It will impact people like me. Because if that next step is to say, well, you've got to perform weddings for traditional marriages, you've got to perform marriages for this new thing, which I really don't like to call a marriage. Well, then folks in my position are going to have to make a decision. As I told somebody this week, I said, hey, you're going to figure out whether you're consistent or not. Are you consistent to God's word, but are you consistent in love to people? Because are you going to stand up and say, well, then I just can't perform weddings because I'm going to remain true to God's word, but I love people regardless. But I'm not going to do this. What's going to happen if next they say, well, if your church takes a stand and says, we believe that the Bible has a clear definition of marriage. Not just, well, we want to go over here to Romans 1 and talk about the sin, but we also believe that God lays out a foundation for a positive of marriage. And they say, well, you're going to lose your tax exempt status. Everything that you contribute now to this church is no longer tax deductible. Well, then consistency is going to show up or not. The church world is upset by these things. The church world is frustrated by these things. The church world has become angry about these things. And the church world has become unchristlike about much of these things. Because here's the deal. While people stand on street corners holding up signs, telling about God's way is this way and all that stuff, and I'm all for it. If you want to go hold up a sign somewhere, go hold up a sign somewhere. I'm all for it. If you want to have a petition or something, sign you a petition. I mean, I hate to sound that, you know, but go for it. You know what I want to see? I want to see us still be having relationships with people where that we can continue to lead people to Christ. I want us to have enough of an impact in people's lives that we can say, hey, I don't agree with them. The Bible's clear on this. But I want you to know about the message of the gospel. See, the message of the gospel is not just that Jesus wants you to be free. That's not the only. Free from what? See, the gospel presented as only get saved we have to understand sin. We have to understand what we're being saved from. We have to understand, why did Jesus have to come and die? There wasn't sin. If there wasn't something that was enslaving us, if there wasn't something that had us in bondage, then why the necessity for the Son of God to come and die for us? We've got to be consistent in presenting the gospel. We have to be consistent in presenting that the gospel is that we were in sin and that sin separates us from God, no matter what the sin is. Not just homosexuality. There's a lot of folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of folks this morning that they're preaching this morning about the dangers and the ills of lifestyles that don't line up with. Fantastic. If you haven't been preaching it and haven't been taking a stand for it, I guess it's not too late to start now. All right? But sin will separate you from God. Adultery will separate you from God. Lying will separate you from God. Stealing will separate you from God. Murder will separate you from God. It's not just one thing, guys. It's not just the latest thing that's in the news. Sin separates. It's time the church be consistent about not just responding to what's happening in the news, not just responding, not ignoring, but not just that that's the only thing. Look, God will set you free. I don't care what the sin is. God wants to deliver you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the message. That's the consistent message. What are you going to do when somebody walks in this door? And for lack of any better term, they're a flaming homosexual. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Love them. We go, oh my goodness, our kids are going to sit. What you going to do when they walk in the door and they're an outright alcoholic? What are you going to do when they walk in the door and you can tell from the needle tracks they're a drug addict? What are you going to do when they walk in the door and you can tell they're a prostitute?
Come on.
What are you going to do when they walk in the door and you find out later, hey, they were a wife abuser? Or nowadays, they were a husband abuser. What are you going to do when you find out that they slept around on their husband or their wife at some point? Sin separates, but Jesus paid the price for all of it.
Amen.
It's time the church be consistent in saying, God so loved the world. Paul said in those two verses, hey, before certain men came from James, man, Peter would hang out with everybody. Peter would hang out with the folks that were the worst dressed, had the worst history, used to be this, used to have these. Oh, but then when folks that was dressed up. Hey, if you want to dress up and come to church, you know, dress up, come to church. I'm not. It's okay. I had to break myself this morning because, man, I'm a thrift store shopper. I'll just be honest. It's a nice shirt. Got this Nike shirt for $4 and something at a thrift store. Sorry. I had got an Under Armour one. I noticed one of them was an Under Armour. It was a baseball shirt. It has a P on it. And Michelle said, what's that stand for? I said, pain, you know? Pain, what are you? Hey, you know, if that fight out of double P, that'd been awesome, wouldn't it? And man, I had to break myself this morning because I was going, man, I like that. It's green too, you know, baseball looking like a jersey thing, you know. I had to pee. I was like, no, man, I might hurt somebody's feelings, you know. I went that far down, wore a baseball jersey, you know, preaching. Look, if somebody walks in this door and they got on the finest, they got on a $2,000 suit, I'll be, hey, brother, how you doing? Love them. You walk in the door and you exact, I'm going to hug on you, love on you. God ain't saving your clothes. God's not saving your job. God's not saving the house you live in. He's not saving what kind of car you drive. He's not saving even your past. He's saving you. He's saving your heart. He's saving what He wants to do in your life. And what you are today is not what God wants you to be. Not because you're not in line with God's will, but because God's got a plan that's going to keep developing you. You're not where God wants you to be yet. You're not going to be till when you take your last breath, that's when it's finally over. Up until then, God's still wanting to do something in your life. The church has got to be consistent about saying God is wanting to do something in your life. No matter where you're starting from, I picked me up a bicycle last night. Look, no, I got it, but I did get it off of an online yard sale on Facebook.
What's the difference?
Hey, I mean, it's close enough. It was, because I've been telling you, see, I've been eating that apple for breakfast, that apple for lunch and all that. I come up the stairs at work the other day. I know y'all can't really tell yet. It's okay. But I come up the stairs at work the other day, and I walk in, and I was talking to some of the people, and all of a sudden, I stopped, and I went, man, I'm not breathing hard. This is awesome, you know? Felt great and all that stuff. So I got this bicycle. Got it for like a third of what the original price was. Still got the nibs on the tires. Guy never had even, he said he rode like twice on the road in front of the house. Hey, it's because I'm not done yet. It's because I'm having to look at some stuff in my life. Because it's one thing for me to stand up here and preach and say, oh, people need to be consistent and people need to be trying to grow and people need to be trying to change. And I got to go, man, I'm fat. I think I'm going to cut that out of the podcast right there, by the way. Just in case anybody hadn't been here yet, you know, just well, man, what kind of preach is that? Hey, you know, it's just the truth. You know, some of y'all skinny. I'm not. So I had to look and go, wait a minute. If I'm going to stand up and tell people you need to be working on changing your life, then I need to be working on changing my life. All right? Sometimes it's hard. I'm just telling you. Man, we have birthday parties for people and stuff, and they get modest pizza at the plant. They'll bring modest pizza, and then they make me come in and lead the singing. I always have to lead it. Happy birthday to you. And I'm going, dear Lord, help me. And then they go to sweet cakes or whatever that is that's down there. What? Small cakes, yeah. And they always get that red velvet one with the cream cheese, and they have just the whole assortment. And they're like, you don't want some of this pizza? And I'm going, yeah, I want some of that pizza. Yeah, but I'm not going to eat it. Well, at least don't you want the cupcake? Well, yeah, I want the cupcake. For sure. I don't want that. I don't want a cupcake. I want two or three cupcakes. I mean, let's just tell the truth. But hey, I've got to be consistent as your pastor in my personal life if I'm going to tell you to be consistent in your spiritual life. Okay? Consistency is important. I can't just stand in here. I can't do like Peter, that, hey, in certain situations, well, I'm going to proclaim this is what ought to happen, but then in other situations, I'm not doing that. So I got a bicycle. All I want to say is, if I am found on the side of the road by the Good Samaritan... I just want to say some things will kill you and not make you stronger. But I don't want to say I'm either going to do it or die trying, because I'm open to, you know, let's stay away from that one. Hey, look, you know, I'll stand up here and be honest enough to tell you that, hey, God has to convict me of some stuff and say, hey, Nathan, you're gonna lead a group of people. You need to get consistent in this area. So I'm not sitting here asking you today and telling you that as we look through Galatians and see this and go, hey, we need to be consistent. Yeah, God has severely been working on my heart over the last year and something when it comes to people from other races, when it comes to people from other circumstances. No doubt. And it is chapping some people that I know like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I think I've been told now to move out of the South, to a lot of other stuff I've been told that you don't want to know. You know why? Just because God is having to work on my heart to understand that I'm no longer white or black. I'm no longer from the South or the North or from wherever else. I'm no longer from a certain economic status or what. I'm no longer from employed versus unemployed. Because when we came into Christ and Christ began to live through us, if we're surrendering our life to Him, then it's not about the things that divide. It's about the consistency of serving Him. It's about the consistency of pursuing the gospel. What do you want to have happen? right now, today, with everything that's happened this week, what do you want to have happen? Do you want the Supreme Court vote to have been 5-4 the other way? Well, sure. Would that have changed what's happening in households and in homes and in lives all around the country? No. No. Would have made the church feel better. Would have made the church feel like that America's still pursuing God. Look, man, sin's still out there. Sin's still happening. Nathan, you saying it doesn't matter to you what happened in it? No, I'm not saying that at all. Don't misquote that. But you know what I want to see? I want to see people saved. I want to see lives changed, not legislation being my goal. Amen. It'd been great if it had gone our way, but you know what really matters? Is that for a lot of people in the church, had that vote swung the other way, they would have been celebrating and high-fiving and quit the fight. Yep. Because we won. Because their idea was winning was about a court case. You know what I believe winning is about? I believe winning, Dennis said to me when we were standing talking in the parking lot at Target last night, he said, if one person accepts Christ, it matters. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. We were talking about overseas missions and stuff. Well, you know what? In the grand scale of everything, if everything that we ever do results in one person being saved, it was worth it. Because what matters for eternity is not what five judges decide. It's what happens in the heart of the individual. Amen. It's what happens in the heart of the people right here in the city of Anniston that we reach out to and minister to. And do we reach out and minister with hate? Do we reach out and try to minister with division? Do we reach out and try to minister with stuff that separates? Or do we reach out and say how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity? That's what the Word says. Last two slides. We say we want people to be saved and be part of the body of Christ. But a lot of times we really mean we want them to be just like us. We say we want people to be saved and be part of the body of Christ, but a lot of times we really mean we want them to conform to our idea of good people. We say we want people to be saved and be part of the body of Christ, but we really mean we expect them to agree with every opinion that we have. You know the problem? The problem is my opinion really doesn't matter. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but your opinion really doesn't matter either. Not in the grand scheme of things. Not that it doesn't matter to me. Your opinion matters to me. But in the grand scheme of things, your opinion doesn't matter. Neither does mine. You know why? Because it's Christ. His opinion is the only one that matters. Because when it comes down to it, what I think or what I believe or whatever else, I'm not living. You didn't get saved according to what I think. Not as your pastor, not as your friend. You didn't get saved what my opinion was. You don't get saved what your opinion was. But you will get saved according to what Jesus says. And so at the end of the day, when we say we want people to be saved, we better be prepared for that people are going to get saved and God is going to do the work in their lives. Just one question. When is our heart going to be broken like God's heart? When Paul saw Peter being inconsistent, God wasn't angry. I believe that it was heartbreaking. When God sees what's happening in our country today, God's not angry. An angry God doesn't send His Son to die for sinners. We get angry and we act out. We get angry and we lash out. We get angry and we say things we shouldn't say. God is just righteous. God is just holy. But ultimately God just looked and said, I can fix this. And I'll do it through my Son. And by presenting my Son to die for your sins, I can redeem you and restore you.